This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 8 o'clock hour we go, Payne and Pendergast. You can text us, Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line. You can chat with us in the YouTube and Twitch chat rooms there. All kinds of ways to consume and interact with us here at Sports Radio 610. I got a question in the mailbag for my podcast, Seth, the Utopia Football Podcast. Two episodes during the offseason, Tuesday and Thursday. Mailbag, H-O-U. mailbag@gmail.com if you want to drop me a line there. They asked, where does D'Amico rank in the, quote, job security department among NFL head coaches? Not trying to, like, stir the pot and imply that D'Amico's seat is hot or anything. Quite the opposite. Like, my answer was just blindly. I just blindly answered it because I didn't have time, you know, to jot down every coach as I'm answering these questions. Blindly, I would say he's top 10 in job security. Like, he's going, it would take an act of God or the most horrific season ever and probably a series of other things
I think even if they ended up having a 2-15 season, even, I don't think it would end up, he'd be the first Texans coach that could
survive
after a 2-win season. They fired every other one that's had a 2-win season.
Yeah.
For a couple reasons. One, for one, I don't think that this team is capable of having a 2-win season just because defensively they're always going to be a competitive defense.
Yeah.
So that keeps you in enough games that even if you have you can look at the Jets a couple years ago when the Robert Saleh had 7 wins while not having a single viable NFL quarterback the entire time. I think that they're very unlikely to have a season that bad. And then the other part of it too is I think the Texans would have to be concerned with maybe earning what has been an unfair characterization of the team, which is, oh, they fire coaches way too quickly or immediately. Like, it was bogus. Because the Texans had held on to coaches for a long time. You know, Capers was here 4 years, then Kubiak was here forever, O'Brien was here for a very long stretch of time, and then it was just a really weird 2-year period where they fired a couple coaches that people wanted to brand them as a short-timer coaching position.
Right.
But I feel like if D'Amico got fired, a lot of people would look at that side-eyed.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the floor for this team, and I say this, I think the floor for this team, even if something were to happen to CJ, right? I still think the floor for this team is like 7 or 8 wins just for what you just said, just based on the defense. Like, this team, I think, could defense and Davis Mills their way to 7 or 8 wins. You know, it's a pretty well-coached team. They've got guys that love football. I don't think these are guys that are going to give up on the season or anything like that. So I think for a team, you know, if we were just looking at a team, if they had to play their backup quarterback for the season, what's the floor? I think the Texans have one of the higher floors. Like, if you wiped out all the starting quarterbacks in the NFL and every team had to start their backup,
Yeah.
I think the Texans would be a pretty good team in that environment. They'd have a pretty good team in that league, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, I think that it's the chance is almost zero of D'Amico getting fired after this
year. Only ones, I kind of put him into groups, like tiers, like the coaches in the NFL right now. I put him into tiers for this exercise. I think the only ones, like I would say, are like more secure. Like they're going nowhere. Like it would take an act of Congress to get these guys out. I would say, see if you agree with me, I would say Andy Reid.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh. I would say both the Harbaughs.
Okay. I would disagree with the John Harbaugh just because there could at some point be a point where the owner says, all right, look, man, he's been awesome and we've been competitive every year. And yet at some point we just... If the Ravens have a really disappointing season this year, and they have for a couple years now, they've got some difficult free agency decisions and everything to make. If Lamar Jackson took a step backwards for some reason, let's say Derrick Henry gets injured, I could see it. I would actually put D'Amico above John Harbaugh.
Would you? Okay.
Even with all due, and that doesn't have it. I think John Harbaugh is an awesome head coach, but I could see it just being the point where they say, okay, it's time to go in a new direction.
No, we're admittedly splitting hairs right now. We're talking about comparing good coaches to other good coaches. So there's no disrespect for anybody if you say D'Amico's above this guy. The only thing, and maybe it's something to go look up today, is like I wonder how many coaches that won Super Bowls, and I understand his Super Bowl win was a decade ago, I get that, with Joe Flacco. How many of them had their times with their teams end in them getting fired? You know, like how much of a golden ticket is a Super Bowl victory?
Tom Coughlin won two and then got fired.
Yeah. No, and the number may be high. I don't know. Like as I was putting Harbaugh in that bucket, the Super Bowl, the fact that he's won a Super Bowl there was definitely on my mind in putting him in there. I mean, you make a good argument for the opposite, though, for sure.
Well, I mean, but the Mike McCarthy stuff happens, too. Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl early, and then that guy, it buys you a long leash afterwards.
And he's had a long leash, Harbaugh. It's been a decade since he won it.
Coughlin only lasted, how many seasons did he, after his second Super Bowl, did he get fired?
That's a good question. It was 2011 he won the second Super Bowl, right, against the Patriots. I don't know when they started going on that Ben McAdoo cycle with Ben McAdoo and Joe Judge, the other guys. It was a rough stretch.
How about that? They fired Tom Coughlin, which makes sense. He's an older guy. They felt like he'd lost his touch or whatever.
Yeah.
But then they fired him for Ben McAdoo.
Ben McAdoo, who's
unbelievable.
Go Google Ben McAdoo suit and see the suit that he. Remember the suit he wore to his introductory press conference? He looked like Tom Hanks at the end of Big, where he shrunk back into a little kid again, and he's wearing an adult suit.
He lost. He had four seasons after he won that second Super Bowl.
Okay. Yeah. So it's interesting. The other names I had in the more secure, Jim Harbaugh, just because he's in year one in Los Angeles and he's done a great job so far. He got him back to the playoffs. Like, Jim Harbaugh's going nowhere. Kevin O'Connell, Minnesota. Dan Campbell, Detroit. Matt LaFleur, Green Bay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would say that Kevin O'Connell and Matt LaFleur would be big shocks, but that I wouldn't be big shocks. It would be surprises, but I could see them, especially with Minnesota. I wonder, they're very analytically minded, and I could see them, for whatever reason, feeling like, okay, Kevin O'Connell isn't the right guy, and we actually need a guy like this or what have you.
Mathing their way into a decision.
Yeah. Well, it would be like firing James Click. It would be would be one of those types of things.
Yeah.
As to your previous question, by the way, big shockers. How about the GM that gets fired 3 days after they, or 2 weeks after you win a World Series?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, nobody's safe over there. Matt LaFleur may be a misfit on here. I think D'Amico's probably on a colder seat than Matt LaFleur, just because they haven't been able to break through in Green Bay under him.
Yeah.
You know, he's been really good there with multiple quarterbacks, I think. And then the last two, Sean McVay with the Rams and Kyle Shanahan. I put Kyle Shanahan in there only because I think if he got fired, he'd get hired in 2 seconds by some other team, which if that's the case, like I think Tennessee's finding that out with Mike Vrabel. Like, Vrabel took a year off, just step back. But I think if Vrabel, after the Titans fired Vrabel, I think if Vrabel had wanted to, if you know, if he and his representation wanted to get him in the mix in that hiring cycle, I think Vrabel could have found a job pretty quickly.
I don't know with Shanahan, if you every time I kind of go to try to dig into something with the 49ers, there's a whole lot of scuttlebutt all the time out there about both either Shanahan getting traded or Shanahan getting fired. So I don't know. And I feel like one of the theories out there is that, man, Shanahan and John Lynch talked the owner into making that huge spending splurge last year, and then it completely fell apart to where there might be some acrimony there between the owner and management and the coaching as far as, all right, now we're on the hook for all this money and it looks like we're headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess the question is, there's a difference between being secure in the job you have and being a desirable candidate for the other 31 jobs.
Yeah, I think the list you put together is a really good list of who shouldn't be more secure or who should be more secure than D'Amico.
Yeah.
But the way it actually works out interpersonally and everything, I think those guys are the guys I mentioned might be a little bit more on the hot seat than you realize.
Yeah, no, you may be right. You may be right about that. Then there's other names that I think, like, you know, Sean McDermott, there had been rumblings a year or so ago that he might be on thin ice. He's probably reestablished himself by getting 3 points away from the Super Bowl. Mike Tomlin's a weird one because he's a winning coach every year, and yet there'd been talk of the Steelers maybe trading him to a team.
Yeah.
Sean Payton, I think, is pretty secure in Denver. You know, Sirianni just won a Super Bowl, you know, things like that.
Okay, as far as I'm fascinated by your question about coaches when they're let go after they win a Super Bowl or multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So, Nick Sirianni could have almost been one of those guys this year, which is crazy because he's just won. He's been to 2 in 3 years now.
Yeah.
Without winning it, Nick Sirianni wouldn't have been.
Yeah, he just made it 2 years ago.
Right. Andy Reid, Sean McVay both still have their jobs. Bruce Arians, he retired. He flat out retired.
Yes.
Was Bill Belichick officially a firing?
They definitely didn't position it that way. Remember they had a big press conference?
It was amusing. He got fired. If you're not retained, you're fired.
Okay.
Is how I would think of it.
These are the rules. That sounds good.
Doug Peterson.
Fired.
Totally fired.
Yep.
Was Gary Kubiak, did he retire?
He retired.
He retired.
Yep.
Pete Carroll. I mean, it was long after he won the Super Bowl.
But he got fired.
But he got fired. But that was a long, let's say he got a really respectable long leash.
Yes.
Now, Tom Coughlin, we talked about.
Yep.
I would say Mike McCarthy doesn't count because he had such a long, long leash afterwards.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. It's few and far between.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Payton retired.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he thought he was retiring, but he stepped away willingly.
Yeah. But John Harbaugh, like the doppelganger for him is probably McCarthy, you know, like he won a Super Bowl early on while he was there and then just was competitive for a long, long time. And then just, you know, eventually the voice stops resonating in the locker room, you know.
I'll tell you what, man, going back long enough, it really is because Dungy retired, right?
Yes.
Did Gruden get fired by the Bucks?
Good question. I don't know.
Or traded. Wait, no, he got traded.
From the Raiders to the Bucks.
From the Raiders to the, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Coughlin might be the biggest miscarriage of justice of all of these, especially when you add in the Ben McAdoo.
He won two in 5 years. And he beat Belichick and Brady in both of those.
Yeah.
He got fired for Ben McAdoo.
Well, okay, so he won two Super Bowls. That bought him 4 years, where all those other guys were getting a decade-long leash after winning one Super Bowl, or some of those other guys.
Well, and not even getting back to one in that 10-year time frame. You know, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers got to that one in 2010, and they haven't sniffed one since, either of them, in any place they've been. And I think John Harbaugh the same, right? The Ravens haven't been back to a Super Bowl since 2012. No, they haven't.
The Giants in the 4 years after they won their second Super Bowl, they went 9-7.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd never get fired after that. Then they went 7-9.
Yeah.
And then they had 2 6-10 seasons in a row where that's what did it in for.
Yeah, they weren't great, you know, and you have a quarterback who's winding down. Physically,
yeah.
who wasn't all that great to begin with in Eli,
It made sense, except that they followed it up with Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur,
forgot about
and
Schirmer.
Joe Judge.
I forgot about
had, from 2016 through 2021, their coaches were Ben McAdoo, Pat Schirmer, and Joe Judge.
Yeah.
That's a horrible, horrible way to follow up firing a coach that it won you two Super Bowls.
Right. Like, at least when you fire McCarthy, you bring in Matt LaFleur, who's done a good job. You know, he hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl, but he's you know, empirically, he's done a good job. But that's, dude, when you lay it out that way, like, that's totally on brand for a team that's owned by, what about Saquon?
And you just know, well, and you know how he loved how popular, his point he made about Saquon Barkley wasn't even how good Saquon Barkley was, it's that he's the most popular with the fans.
Yes.
So think about, Coughlin had Odell Beckham Jr. for 2 years. Odell Beckham Jr. wildly popular with the fans, and I'm guessing Odell Beckham Jr. might not have been the biggest Tom Coughlin fan.
I think that's a fair bet.
Because Odell Beckham Jr. was one of the people on the boat party in South Florida, wasn't he?
He was, he was, I believe so. Yeah, his last, Coughlin, you said he got fired after 2015?
Yeah.
Yeah, his last two seasons would have been Odell Beckham's first two seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's... we're getting a lot of texts to the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, about our conversation before, back in the 7 o'clock hour, about who would win a fight between Nick Caserio and Roger Clemens. Roger's winning in an overwhelming fashion on the text page. The reason we brought it up is because Nick pointed out, in talking about lower body strength in athletes yesterday in our conversation with him, pointed out that...
Clemens had a big ass.
Yeah, Clemens had a big ass. Don't underestimate how much time Clemens has already done this with all of the boys, all of his sons that he's had, the fights that he's gotten into with his sons through the years, with his
dad's strength. Who are also professional athletes.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And not as big as Roger either. Like, he's bigger than all of them.
And Roger's got, he totally definitely has old man strength too.
1,000%. He still works out, I bet.
Yeah, I told you, like, the old men in my family on the farming side, they would do, like, these grip strength things. And I can remember when I was still in college, yeah, I would do it versus my great uncle, and he would destroy me on it.
Yeah.
Because he's just a lifetime of working the way he did. He had old man strength, and he just destroyed me and all that stuff. Clemens would be that guy.
He's that guy.
I do think, Sean, your one weakness as a sports handicapper.
I know what you're going to say.
Might be in hypothetical street fights.
Because I'm a wrestling fan. You know, I watch Cody Rhodes pin Roman Reigns, and I'm like, all right, if these two fought for real, Roman would squash him like a grape. That's 100% true.
Yeah, I think you don't respect the weight class element as much as you should.
It's the pro wrestling fan in me. It's a blind spot, but it's an acknowledged blind. You know what?
Well, we are talking about fake hypothetical
I'm
going
to acknowledge, appropriately enough, I'm going to use Roman Reigns to acknowledge. Sean Pendergast's blind spot for weight classes in street fights.
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledged.
Well, okay, now maybe we need to start doing it like that. If you had Caserio go versus Roger Clemens in a pro wrestling bout, who would put on the better show? Who would win the crowd over?
I think...
Let's say not in a Houston or New York or Boston-based crowd, just in a blank slate crowd where they somehow knew nothing about these guys.
I think Clemens would make an outstanding heel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He would cut some great heel promos. So, and I think you could paint Nick as a sympathetic, like, underdog babyface in all this.
I think Nick would do some crazy stuff.
Yes.
Like, Nick would go do crazy stuff that looked that's ill-advised.
Yes.
Like, he would do a backflip off of the post onto a folding table and everything.
Yes, an aerial assault from Nick Caserio. Yeah. Last text before we hit the break here, because it's funny. This texter says, I've played lots of golf with Roger Clemens. A few years ago, I made a hole in one with him. He picked me up like a rag doll celebrating. I'm 6'2", 230.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he does. He's got dad strength, old man strength for sure.
We weren't wondering. We assumed that if we have Roger Clemens on and play him that soundbite, he's going to take it as a compliment.
For sure.
That Nick said he had a big ass.
Oh, yeah.
Which it was. It was a compliment.
Yes.
But then if I tell him that you actually thought Nick Caserio could... could beat him or compete with him in an MMA bout. Yeah, Clemens is going to get pissed off at you.
Yeah, I know.
We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that interview in person.
No, no. Or at least save it till the end when I can run out of the studio right before break, something like that. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
You could outrun Roger Clemens, huh?
No, well, I'd have a head start on him.
Big ass.
I just have to get to the elevator first. I just got to get to the elevator.
Just running back, being like, trying to catch me with that fat ass of yours,
come at
Roger.
Me. Come at me. all right, are we in a new era where there is a brand new pecking order with the three big pro teams here in town? The Athletic may say yes. We will have that for you coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We are in a brave new world in Houston sports. Are the Astros the third best team right now among the three major teams here in town, the three that we follow most closely on our station, the Texans, the Rockets, the Astros? Amongst their sports, this is where they stack up according to The Athletic, the respective power rankings for each of their sports. And obviously, these are different people doing these rankings within the sports. They're not, this is not one person doing all three. But the Astros in the early spring training Athletic power rankings are the 11th best team in Major League Baseball. And I would say, Seth, like that passes the, like when I hear that blindly without looking at who the 10 teams are ahead of them, like that sounds about right for where they are right now, especially considering public sentiment about their offseason is not as rosy as maybe I feel it's been. I don't feel it's been this horrific offseason. I feel like they, you know, for losing Bregman, two players like Bregman and Tucker, I think they've recovered nicely to shore up other areas of this team. So 11th to me probably sounds about right for what the overall national perception is of the Astros. Would you agree with me on that one?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's obviously a whole lot of wiggle room there as to how it'll actually turn out.
Sure.
But yes, that sounds right.
Meanwhile, in the other two power rankings, the NFL and the NBA, the Texans, the Athletic did their power rankings like offseason, you know, post Super Bowl heading into the offseason. Texans are 10th in the NFL, which again, they were still one of the last eight teams standing in the playoffs and put up a good fight against the Chiefs. So 10th feels about right because we know there's a couple teams that the experts think are talented but didn't make the, you know, San Fran is still getting some love because they're still a talented but injured football team. The Bengals, if the season were a 20-game season instead of just a 17-game season, probably would have ended up making the playoffs because they were playing really well at the end, you know?
Yeah.
And so they're above the Texans. But 10th feels about right there. And then the Rockets, how about this? This is like a total flip. The Rockets are 7th in the power rankings in the Athletic.
Yeah, I think that like obviously quibbling about exactly where, okay, does that mean the Rockets are viewed as better than the Texans and the Texans are viewed better than the Astros? I think they're all three of them are viewed as teams that are just not in that elite tier right now.
Yes.
They're playoff caliber teams, but they're just not in that elite tier. It feels about right. If you start talking about, okay, which ones do you feel are most capable of vaulting up into that elite tier right now? Oh, that's a tough one. I've got this residual, almost like protectionist feel about the Astros. They're like, no, you can't. Look, the Astros have done it twice. They've won two World Series, but they've been in that elite
four of them,
tier
for,
you know, the better part of a decade now. It's hard for me to relinquish that. And yet, I think if you try to be as objective as possible about it, you gotta have a better feel for the future of the Rockets and the Texans right now than the Astros.
Yeah, no, they've definitely, if we're doing just what does the roster look like under the age of what we would consider young in each sport, because the age is different for each sport. Like, young in football is like once you get to like 26 in football, you're starting to get old, you know?
Yeah.
But if we were just like, whatever the line of demarcation is for young core for that sport, there's no question the Rockets and the Texans are ahead of the Astros in that category. Rather, the Astros' young part of their core is in a rebuild mode right now, especially because you just sent Kyle Tucker out the door, who was, you know, one of your younger core guys.
Yeah.
Here's what my question would be. Which of these teams wins a championship first, if you had to pick? You know, you got the Astros who've won two in the fairly recent time frame. The Texans have not been close. They haven't gotten to the conference championship game. The Rockets as a franchise have sniffed conference finals, but none of the guys are left from any of that. I mean, fairly, you know, within the last 5-6 years they've been there. And the NBA, I know what my answer would be. What would your answer be?
My answer would be the Rockets.
The Rockets.
I think it's more realistic because I think if you're talking about, okay, could they do it in the next 3 years? I think that with the Rockets, it might be as simple as one player added. And that if like a Durant or somebody like that in the offseason might end up just really drastically vaulting them up. With the Texans, there's a lot of work to be done with the offense. And they can do it in 1 year. It's just harder to envision it them. It always, in football, it always feels like it's got to be this multi-year climb. And then you find out, like, no, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
But in your mind, you're like, oh, okay, good. They've got to drastically improve the offensive line. Gosh, it's hard to move past the offensive line.
Yeah.
They got to figure something out in the wide receiving core above and beyond just Nico Collins.
Yeah.
It just feels like there's more variables there.
There are more variables. I would say the Texans, though, here's why. I think the offensive line is absolutely a concern. Part of my answer is confidence, definitely in Nick Caley in getting it fixed. The wide receiver room is interesting because now keep in mind the Texans 2 years ago were thought to have among the worst three or four wide receiver rooms. Then all of a sudden in a year, just with a trade for Stephon Diggs, they had one of the top three. And now they're back down, if I had to guess, with just Nico and nobody else, if they were to rank these things, they'd be back down at least in the bottom half, if not bottom third. So those things, I think, with the right picks, can get fixed. Here's why I would say the Texans, the biggest reason, Seth, is just the format of the postseason. There's way more variability and potential for randomness built into, and this is a bit of a nerdy analysis of it, but it's the facts, in a one-and-done type of tournament kind of thing, than there is, like, the NBA is truly the one to me. Like, you start off with best of seven immediately. So, obviously, the longer the series, the better chance the cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
And so the Rockets, the Texans can win a Super Bowl without truly being one of the best teams in football if you catch the right matchups and injuries work out and things like that. In basketball, you absolutely have to be one of the best teams to win.
Okay, so I guess this would be the other part too when it comes to the difference between basketball and football. In football, there's just so many more moving parts. I have extreme faith in Udoka. And when it comes to the coaching with the Texans right now, Nick Caley is still a complete wild card. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to watch it. And I'm optimistic that he'll be better than Bobby Slowick, but I just don't know yet. Where I feel like Udoka, yes, I think D'Amico is totally 100% a guy who can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I feel like Udoka and his staff is just, and with Rafael Stone, I feel like, those guys are championship caliber, and I feel good about them.
Yeah. Some good questions coming in on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line that I want to get to here. I think the most interesting thing about this conversation we're having, Seth, is you said Rockets, I said Texans, and neither of us are saying the team that's actually won championships
in the last
5 or 6 years. You know, this is a good question, though. Would you rather be a city with three top 10 teams? Like Houston right now, I think. The Astros are 11th. We can quibble over that. I think this is a city that has three teams that are in the top 10 in their sport. I don't think that's a hot take. Would you rather be a city with three top 10 teams or a city with two teams and a champion?
Oh, 100%. The champion.
We've been that city. Yeah. Like,
right. 100%.
Parades. Yeah.
Yeah. I like parades.
Yes.
I want to see people taking the hat that dropped and then tossing it back up to the parking garage every level, like they did at the Astros parade back then.
Yes, that was fun. That was the levels in the garage.
I don't mean to say that it's hurling beer bottles at people on floats.
Yeah, I was mesmerized. I think there might be some people who would counter that. I'm with you. I agree with you. I like 2022. Now the Texans. And the Rockets were like, would be a compliment to what those teams were. Those were bad teams. Those were bottom of the barrel teams that are picking in the top three in their respective sports. So there may be a bit more nuance to it. Like, we paid, if that's what the price you got to pay for a parade, like, we paid the ultimate price here in Houston with what the Rockets and Texans were in 2022. Yeah. Back
if it's
then,
the sum total of all those things. If you're a person that goes to all three, sports and, yeah, spends money on them and everything else. Yeah.
If I had to guess, if we put that up as a poll, there would be some people that, like, just if we gave them two choices, three top 10 teams or two teams and a champion, there may be some people that would counter with the question, which team is winning the championship?
Yeah.
Because there are people in town who aren't basketball fans or aren't baseball fans or aren't football fans. Like, I think, like, to me, like, a Super Bowl championship, wow, like, carries a lot of weight. Like, I would, like, if it's a Super Bowl championship, like, I'm sorry, Rockets and Astros, you don't want to know how bad you could possibly look for us to get a Super Bowl championship. You know how ugly I would allow you to be to get a Super Bowl championship.
If Sean has to go pull a Nancy Kerrigan on three Rockets players to guarantee a Super Bowl championship, he'll do it.
Yep.
Sean will be out there with a ski mask on. Man.
That's it.
It's hard to get away these days with being a...
a lot of security.
A random Jeff Galuli in Houston. Well, just because why would somebody be wearing a ski mask? You're not, you can't just be walking down the street in a ski mask without attracting a little bit of attention.
Today would be the day to do it. It feels like 19 degrees outside. If you're going to Galuli anybody, do it today.
Do it today.
Yeah, today's the day. You can wear a ski mask and be like, what? It was 19 degrees outside. That's not me hitting
that
person.
Was Galuli the one that was actually swinging the stick?
No. Galuli was the mastermind behind it. It was, I believe the name...
Mastermind's an interesting
air quotes,
word.
Yes, yeah, air quotes. I believe Sean, check me on this. Sean Mance, I think, was the name of the fat blob that hit her in the leg.
Okay.
Yeah. Fact check me on that. It was Galuli.
So Galuli was the boyfriend?
It was the boyfriend of Tanya Harding, yeah.
Oh, Sean Eckert was
Eckert.
The...
Okay, why did I say Mance? I don't know.
Oh, no, but they hired... The co-conspirator, Sean Eckert, hired others to attack Kerrigan.
Maybe I'm conflating a couple of names together. I got the first name right because he has the same first name as me. Probably why the cops questioned me about it back in 1994. Your name's Sean and you live in New England. Yeah.
Was Galuli bald? One of those guys was bald.
No, Galuli had a beautiful head of hair. Yeah.
Shane Stant. Nancy Kerrigan with a police baton.
That's Shane Stant. So I was close. Sean Mance is what I said. So Shane Stant. Okay. There we go. I'm glad we had this talk. All right. Hey, listen to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app for an hour each day. Your entry into the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. If you win, you and three friends are headed to Vegas, Circa, major sports book, awesome stadium swim. And guess what time of year it is? The College Basketball Championship Tournament. You're going to be going with an extra $20,000 in your pocket to spend while you're in Vegas. Just download the Odyssey app, listen for an hour each day. It's that simple, and you'll get your daily entry into the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. We talked to Nick Caserio yesterday. We asked him about Stephon Diggs. Is the door still open? And he's headed off to the combine. He had a great quote about what exactly they're looking for in players when they interview them at the combine. We will hear from the Texans GM coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
Hi, Pain and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Good to be with you, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. We had Nick Caserio on yesterday, Texans GM. Here's what he had to say when we asked him about Stephon Diggs. Any talk of an extension leading up to his contract expiring on Monday? And is the door open for Diggs to return?
Absolutely open to that concept. As it pertains to Steph, I would say that was more of a semantical thing more than anything else. I don't think anybody is surprised by that little nuance. Essentially, it was a kind of a one-year contract, and he was going to be a free agent. So we're going to have dialogue with all of our players who will be free agents. You know, we'll have discourse back and forth. We had a good relationship with Steph and his representation, and you know, we enjoyed having Steph in the building, so the door is always open. You know, I think, you know, a number of players have expressed sentiments and interest in potentially returning to our team next season, so we never rule anything out, so we're going to be open-minded and kind of work through the process here.
And that's logical. Like he mentioned, you know, a bunch of free agents. I would think a lot of guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball, would like to come back here if they could at the right price. You know, guys want to make their money, too. I get that. But I think most of the guys who are on that list of the 25 or so free agents that Nick was talking about, I got to imagine had a good experience here the last couple of years winning games with D'Amico Ryans, I would think.
Right. Yeah, and then there's also, you know, there's going to be guys that are released as well. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the big things. You know, Andrew Beck signed somewhere. I can't remember where.
One of the New York teams, I think.
Yeah, and which I was a little... Beck's been an interesting experiment through multiple years now. It's just... It's tough because in that very last game against the Chiefs, the only two games Beck played against this year were the Chiefs. And in that last game, that 82-yard drive at the beginning of the third quarter heavily featured Andrew Beck.
Yeah.
They lined up and they were running a bunch of inside zone and they had a fullback in the game. And then it worked really, really well. So you thought, okay, boy, maybe there's something here that they can work with. Not as a steady diet or anything.
Yeah.
But they'll have to go out and find another Andrew Beck somewhere.
Yep. As far as Diggs goes, that cut, and big thanks to Houston Stressens Garrett, who takes a lot of our video from these interviews and puts it up on his feed from these Caserio interviews. It looked to me like, Seth, the one that got a lot of traction and conversation was that cut we just heard, Nick talking about Diggs, and it was a lot of people kind of estimating their pessimism or optimism level based on what Nick was saying there, and the other tea leaves that you read as well along the way. There's not high optimism that Diggs is coming back at this point, I think, is what I sense among the fan base.
I think there's just too much potential for another team out there. We talked earlier about the Commanders as a team. It makes a lot of sense to take a little bit of a risk on whether Diggs comes back from his injury successfully and whether he looks like the same guy. But they've got a boatload of cap space.
Yes.
And they've got a young quarterback. For all the reasons that Stephon Diggs, I think, was good for C.J. Stroud, despite the overall offense struggling, I think that they'll look at Stephon Diggs the same way with Jaden Daniels. All right, man, this is a guy that can not just be an option for a young quarterback, but also help teach a young quarterback a lot about the game. We saw Diggs and how good he was as a tutor and as a mentor for those other young receivers, and for C.J. Stroud himself. So I don't think it's going to make sense for the Texans to take that same gamble.
Yeah, I think those teams that have all that cap space, I think they'll look at the knee injury a little bit differently than teams with less cap space, you're willing to take on that risk. I'm with you on that. We asked Nick yesterday as well. He's off to the combine next week, and we had a few questions back and forth about combine interviews. This little cut from Nick came after, Seth, you asked him, you stuck up for your brethren in the defensive line room.
The defensive line meeting room. Sometimes these meetings don't go so hot at the combine because guys just aren't good interviewers, or maybe they got quirky personalities.
Right.
Is that something that you... I was hoping for an individual story, but then I realized, okay, he's not going to tell me about a player that...
So we sat down with Albert Haynesworth.
How much do you read into these interviews?
Yep.
We don't want just a bunch of choir boys walking through this building. Like, you need an edge. Anybody that watches us play on defense sees that we play fast. We play physical. We play with an edge, to the consternation of some people, apparently, you know, throughout the course of the league. But when you play defense, you play with your hair on fire and you play with an edge, and you want the other team to feel you. So who are the players that have those qualities? You could be a maniac on the football field, and then off the field, you could be one of the best guys ever and you want to go hang out with and have a beer or bring to church or whatever it is. And we have a number of players like that.
There's lots of guys that want to bring a beer to church on that team.
That'd be great. Go with Will Anderson to church with a big cooler and plunk it down next to you on the pew.
we have lots of guys that will go to church with you, but only if you entice them with a beer. That's the kind of guys we want on this football team.
We want guys that shotgun beers at church is what we want. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go to a cowboy church.
Yes. That'd be fun. I love that. You know, that's the second time I think he said that on our show, that we don't want a bunch of choir boys on the team.
Yeah, and I mean, it's always obviously there's a limit.
Sure.
We're getting to that point in the draft. Oh, there's a prospect. I can't think of who it is. He's a first round talent, but there's the old character concerns are starting to pop up, and he's dropping out of the first round.
Oh, I know who it is. I think it's one of the. I don't want to put the name out.
Yeah, you don't
want
to throw that out there, and then all of a sudden, I'll nail it down exactly who it is.
Yeah,
but he's not talking about that necessarily. But it's all one thing that comes out with Nick is always that, man, there's no particular part of evaluating a player that he thinks is the paramount, most important
thing. That's a great observation, yes.
It's always a blend of different things. Yeah. And that's the same way he approaches the draft. He thinks that people overvalue the draft. It's one more way to get guys into the building and see if they can play football for you.
But there's a hit rate on it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a miss rate and a hit rate on it that are very distinct. Even the good ones miss.
Right, but there's free agency. There's the draft. There's free agency. There's trades. There's multiple different ways to get guys in the building.
Last one here. Nick was kind of on one yesterday with his comment. Even that comment we just played, he's like, "Yeah, you were a little too physical for some people," or whatever it was that he said there. Obviously, alluding, I feels like to me alluding to the Azeez Al-Shaair situation.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a funny comment he made about the two types of tampering.
Things will probably pick up over the next few weeks, and then obviously when you have the, call it, legal tampering period, which will be preceded by the illegal tampering period, which will take place at the combine. we'll probably have a pretty good idea of kind of where everybody is going to situate and kind of what the market looks like.
He's absolutely referring to specific people with that.
Did you say the illegal tampering period?
I'm only half joking, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That was good.
There's the paper trail tampering and there's the no paper trail tampering period. Yes.
When somebody tells you, oh, yeah, like that deal was done at the combine, it's like, oh, wow, that's interesting.
That's great. Awesome. That's great. Yeah, my bad. I stepped on it there. He's... like 1,000%, I think, has specific faces in his mind when he's talking. That sounds like somebody who's been burned by an illegal tamper of somebody before.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe there was somebody that they had their eyes set on, and all of a sudden it turns out that, oh, wait, no, they were,
right, yeah.
Sketchy things happen in Indianapolis, as we know.
As we know, yes. All right, text message, Jim.
A lot of cousin marriage.
Jim Adler.
They don't even get married, though. They're like cousins living in sin.
Right.
It's a double whammy.
Right. Sin living in sin.
I would never marry my first cousin. Why buy the cow when I can milk her for free? Yeah. What?
Nothing.
I'm just doing that's not me saying it. That's somebody from Indianapolis.
Milk her for free. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. This goes back to our conversation in the previous segment with who's going to win. Who would you want to win a championship first, or who do you think will win a championship first? Texans, Astros, Rockets. Derwin texts in. He says, here I am just wanting the Texans to win a Super Bowl before the Titans. And I'd throw – so before the Titans. It's not even do they win it first. Win one before the Titans. And I'd throw in the Astros, Rockets, and Whataburger, LOL. So you would have a piss-poor Astros and Rockets team and for Whataburger's food quality to fall off the face of the earth to get a Texans Super Bowl before the Titans win a Super Bowl. That's Derwin.
Can we keep their apple pie? As long as if we could just say, can they sell the apple pie recipe or formula to somebody else?
I'm going to say yes.
Then I can sign on for the Whataburger.
I'm going to say yes because the Astros and Rockets will probably win a few games those years. The equivalent of having a few wins can be you get to keep your apple pie. How's that?
How do you say Whataburger?
Whataburger.
Okay.
Did I say it differently?
Some people say Whataburger.
My wife does.
Does she?
My wife says Whataburger, yeah.
Is that a Pasadena thing?
It may be. Well, Deer Park, but yeah. It's, yeah.
Whatever. She tries to say she's from Deer Park.
They actually grew up on the southeast side of Houston. Her parents moved out to Deer Park long after Amy was out of the house.
Where'd she go to high school?
Immaculate Word, downtown Catholic school. Yeah. Those Catholic girls. Yeah.
What
start much too late, as Billy Joel would say.
That'd be a good Pender poll. Or am I just mishearing it sometimes when I think people are saying Whataburger?
I think some people say Whataburger. Hey, Ben, how do you say it?
Well, you said Amy definitely says Whataburger.
She says sometimes, she like, yes. It skews towards Whataburger.
Ben, what's your experience?
I say Whataburger because I said Whataburger when I was a child.
Oh, okay. So you did say it at one time. Thanks for throwing shade at my wife, Ben. She'll appreciate that.
And Ben moved beyond childish things.
That's right.
Amy has not. That's why she hangs out around children all day long.
Yeah, and me. Exactly. She's a teacher, everybody, just so people know what Seth was referring to.
She's not a predator. No.
She's a kindergarten teacher. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Head into the 9 o'clock hour. Listen in the 9 o'clock hour for your chance to win Bun B tickets at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. It's a Rodeo Ticket Thursday here on Sports Radio 610. The Athletic had a list. NFL 50 under the age of 40. These are the high achievers in the NFL. How many Texans or people with a tie to the Texans wound up on this list? And are they deserved to be on here? Judge and jury, Payne and Pendergast will make that assessment coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.